just bless the beat. Shana the Songbird.
And this is Shahari.
Oh my God.
I mean, that was almost good. Moving along, how was your week?
You know what? I'm over it, Liz. Let's not even record. I'm done with him. Anyways, my week was good. By the time this episode comes out, my interview with Mr. Sam Scott will be out.
Good.
And so, yeah. And for those of you who have missed it, please go to our Audio Boom account while the Songbird sings. And to catch us on there, and or to turn around and catch us on anywhere that you listen to your podcasts, Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon, Google, and all the above to catch that interview. He is a wonderful independent artist whose music I enjoy. We were able to catch up because, when he was younger, he was one of the people I called like my babies or whatever, because he was very shy and whatnot, and we were able to catch up, talk some shit, and it was just a really good interview. He also had dropped some little nuggets about some upcoming projects that he was going to release, hopefully at the end of this month. So I was like, oh, getting special details. I love it. I'm for it. Ooh.
The first scoop.
Right. I was like, this is nice. But it was just so nice to, you know, it's just so nice to, like, you know, reconnect with people and everything like that. So I was, so that was nice. Other than that, yeah, nothing but work. I moved into a new place. And I have two roommates. One is an older male, 40, Dominican, tall. He's cute. I was like, okay.
Thank you for this detail.
Oh, yes. Of course. You know. And I was like, okay. I'm like, and then like.
That was sarcasm.
I know it was. That's why I just kept going. And he's super funny, and like, I don't know, we click. Like, it's like a good little like brother sister relationship. I was like, all right. And then I have another one who's in Haitian. He's cute too. And he works at the hospital I'm working at. And I was just like, all right, I lucked out on this roommate situation. Hey. But
that's good for you, and hopefully you're not
Don't do it.
Touching them.
No.
What's that? Clawing them.
First of all.
That's what it is. That's what you like to do. You like to claw people.
First of all, let's get this straight. I haven't.
First of all, I've experienced it.
You have experienced several it, times. But also, it's a thing called growth.
8-9 years.
It's a thing called growth. And I have grown. Besides outward, I've grown.
You said that, not me.
Hey, I'm keeping it honest.
So if I say it, you can't be young.
No, you can't say it. Offended. Nah, you can't say it.
That's not how this works.
Nah, bro. But But no, seriously, like, I have grown, and especially with, like, with COVID and monkeypox and all that, and it's just so much shit, and it's just like, I don't know, I mean, during the time I worked in the hospital and everything, so, like, I was always used to germs and everything, but it was just like, I don't know, it's just like, seems like now it's always something new to the point to where I'm just like, I'm just going to keep my hands to myself because it's always something new and I don't want to be the first case of nothing. So therefore, I just keep my hands to myself, you know.
I don't think it was passed through hands alone, was it?
What?
What are you talking about?
Anything. Like, everything now, like, everything that's been coming out so far is just like, you know, if you breathe too hard next to somebody, or if you touch a surface, or hell, if you like, or if you touch somebody. Isn't that like
every day?
Yes, so that's why I minimize me touching people.
Okay. Okay.
Moral of the story. Okay. Moral of the story, I've minimized me touching people. Now, will I still clog you? Yes. Because I know you stay in the house. I know that you don't.
Who stay in the house?
Well, you like the house, rather. My bad. Oh, yeah. Because I know you. Yeah, you definitely have not stayed in the house lately. But you like the house. You typically don't like to be touched and whatever. So I know that. What you call it? I'm not worried that you are carrying anything. So I'll be like, no. But I'll just aside, nah.
What the hell was that?
Don't do that. But I'll just aside, like, nah, everything's cool, and all three of us, like, we just mesh very well, and so I'm just like, this is a good fit. This is gonna be a good situation. Also, I've got a trainer, and speaking of me growing outward, I got a trainer, and I'm like losing pounds already. Last week when I weighed myself, I dropped 6 pounds, and so I haven't weighed myself this coming up week. We're supposed to do it every Monday, and so we're gonna see, you know, how we're doing. So I'm just like,
this is good.
I'm like, cool. And yeah, he's really cool. He's really awesome. He's noticing a lot of he notices things in my body, and especially after I told him with the deformity of my hips and my hips and a little bit of my lower back situation and my neck area, he started noticing like how I move and how like I adjust my body to do some of the workouts, and he's like, okay, well, we're gonna do these to strengthen these muscles and do this to strengthen this because this is better on this side than that side. And it's just like, he's not like just generically just like doing stuff for me. He's like actually focusing and paying attention to my movements and like, all right, we need to work on this. We need to work on that because with your anatomy, this is what it is, and we can try to get you closer back to normal as possible. So I'm just like,
yeah, he's doing his job.
Everyone don't do that, because some people who be personal trainers, I'm like, are you somebody we know in particular?
You talking about the South trainers at the South gym?
No, somebody we know from a marching band became a personal trainer, and I'm just like, I don't know.
Oh, I saw that Snapchat.
You know what I'm talking about? I ain't gonna say my name. Like, as long as you know. As long as you know. Because I was just like, are we allowing this? Okay.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess he has the body for it. But as far as telling somebody else, I don't know, because on the slower side,
right? But I feel like you having the natural body, like, I feel like he naturally had the body for it, so it's just like, like, for me, how does that translate for someone like me who does not naturally have the body for it?
I don't know.
Like how can
he's got that Snapchat going though. He be having his full videos out there.
And it'd be looking awkward. And I'll just be like,
like, what is this?
I'm like,
and why is it so long?
Like, you're not an ugly dude, but these videos are awkward. They're not, I mean, at least you could be like the other trainers and give us like some sex appeal or something. Like, I mean, I ain't gonna lie. Once again,
you would go straight to that part.
But seriously,
don't want to downplay his business. He's growing his business. We just wish him well. It's just
I am you wishing don't him seem well, like the
best
just...
person to be doing that. But
I'm just like, you know, you have to.
We're all trying to be entrepreneurs out here in some type of way.
You had to learn how to market. I can think that's the best thing. You had to learn how to market.
He is marketing. He marketing on his Snapchat. I don't think he would ever use Snapchat to market. That's what he does.
Unless it's your private Snap and you like, you'll do a thirst trap and then you'll turn around and do like a thirst trap workout thing and be like, hey, you want to look like me? All right, come train with me or something like that. Or you want to hang around me? Come train with me or something like that. Like, to me, if you're doing it through Snapchat, then yeah, then that's how I would do it. I would do like, because I have like a pretty good viewing on my private Snapchat. So like, my whole thing is like, when I do decide to like drop my OnlyFans videos, whatever, I already have like a good,
you know who needs this information?
What?
Him. He needs this information. You should go to Snapchat and literally just do this video just for him. So that since you seem to know what he needs to do, you should literally drop that nugget of knowledge onto your homeboy.
But the question,
who used to be a musician and he played one of the lightest instruments. And now he is.
Now he's a trainer. You know what? We gotta go past this.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good.
Because it's constructive, cause but then shade. Also. Well, I am throwing shade. I'm not gonna lie. I am. I really am. I love him to death, but. Anyways, how was your week? What's been going on?
My week has been good. I started my other project.
Nice.
My publishing thing. Okay, I'm still working on it. It'll take about 3 to 5 months to finish it out, and then we'll see how it goes. So I started that. I recently got into that. And as far as work life, I've just been segmenting my days because I have a lot to do at work, so it's been a little busy, you know, but segmenting it, we're getting it done. I'm actually getting stuff done. I'm almost done with the Boeings for sub one, but of course the conductor wanted to change something, so we'll figure it out. It'll work out. It'll happen. As far as at home, I had to reevaluate my financial situation because I seem to be spending too much, so I had to cut back on some stuff. And I just learned that I don't need to have full coverage on both of my cars since I own both of them, so I'm not paying off anything. So I had to take off the full coverage for some of them and make that more affordable for me. I talked to my dad about that.
Because I'm sure it dropped like a couple hundred.
Yeah, like $75.
So, full coverage is a bitch.
Pretty good.
Then you're young too. Ooh, child.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, to me, it didn't seem to be too big, but.
But with when you add that with other expenses, like, it adds up.
So I just reevaluated my financial situation and got it down, and I should be good to go now. As far as this week, I went to my boss's house yesterday And she gave me a painting. It's made out of plywood, and it looks like a cross. I don't know. It's a painting, and they painted a cross on it, and he also like chipped at it because it's actual plywood. It's not like regular canvas. So it's like plywood. It's really heavy. It's really cool. Contemporary painting. How he got the chips in there, and then he like painted the cross. It looks like a cross. And has like a circle. It's really cool. It's really cool looking. So I went there and I talked to her for a little bit, like an hour. I saw her 15-year-old diabetic cat, and he was in there chilling, just walking around. He was a minx. That's what they call a minx. I don't know about cats, but
they're so pretty. But
yeah, he didn't have that tail. He had like cut off looking tail. It was like an English breed thing. But that was yesterday. So that was pretty cool. So I got some decoration. My first painting, well, not my first thing to go on the walls, but I haven't put anything on my walls yet. But
you have stuff, but you know.
Yeah. But that's the week. Praying for my neighbors every day.
You got this. And you gotta love them like you want. You as though God is loving you, or love them as you want them to love you, or love them yeah. View them as you would love and view yourself.
Because I see the change that's happening on one of the houses. It's taking a little minute to happen to the other house, but it's going to happen. I'm going to keep it going. Okay. It's going to happen. They're going to figure it out. But that's what's been going on the week. It's been pretty good, pretty good. A lot has gone down. I feel successful.
I'm proud of you. Good job.
At least mine didn't lead to shade. So that's a good positive.
I mean, and let's go to reflections. The lights. The people, the sound of capitalism growing, and the sound of pure joy. Sitting in the living room in front of the picture box, you watch dramatizations of people unlike yourself who lived in a world unlike your own. You gasp and clap and find yourself fully mesmerized at the colors of the world. The buildings seem to almost touch the finger of God, like the Da Vinci. The hustle and bustle of even the lack thereof, that an urban Southern child wants to try. And lastly, the romance and spontaneous nature of the main character as the film goes on. You would never have guessed that you one day will become that main character. It is incredible, and that in all that is depicted, in both negative and positive, and much more. Unfortunately, being a queer woman roaming in the world where men find themselves entitled and in control is tricky. You have to know when to use your privileges to get what you want and what you need. You even have to learn how to dance your way out of the uncomfortable moments. You are able to see the full reality of a place with your own eyes, and it never gets old. Little bird, you will travel the seas and even find yourself in the arms and trusting your life in a stranger that will make the best memories. Continue your caution, but never be too afraid to live. The world is huge, and every place is different in its own way. Crime and random disasters are going to be there until the end of human existence, but you on this earth are not. A good friend of mine says, "Go forth and prosper. For I want you to know that you are accomplishing exactly that." Sincerely, Shauna the Songbird.
I'm so proud. That didn't sound like a sexual innuendo. None of it did. Now, I was having a hard time figuring out what you could have been referring to. It seemed like you were talking about a play at first. So can you explain what this Reflections was about?
This one was about me. Actually, I wrote this when I was in Greece, and we were supposed to record, but we had some miscommunication, and I was just reflecting, because I was in an apartment, top floor, balcony overlooking the city and looking at the Acropolis and everything, and I was just like. And, like, it was times at night I would, like, sit out there. I would stand out there and watch the people go by and everything. And I would just be like, never in a million years did I imagine that this would be a reality for me. And so far, I think I've been to, seven countries? I think I've been to seven countries at this point, and I've had different experiences in all of them, and it's just like, growing up, you would watch on TV these people, these characters, you know, living their lives in these big cities or in these foreign lands and having all these adventures and whatnot, and to find myself in some of those situations, it's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of, it's beautiful in the fact that a lot of people where I'm from don't get that experience, and I was blessed enough to, like, have made it out and through to where I was able to. And I find myself, like I said, I find myself blessed in it. And yeah, just like, you know, how many people can say they was in one country, took a train, went to another one, met some random tall Adonis who, like, took them out and showed them the town and had, like, this picturesque night out in a whole nother country, and that you literally met you know, like, that day within, like, a few hours of being in the country. Or how many people would be like, oh, I was having brunch and met a doctor who was like, hey, let's ride on my scooter and take you to the other side of the island for you to, like, see stuff. Or,
and also, how many people would do that with a random person?
I mean, that too, you know, like, or how, you know, how many people would say, like, they went out and did what else we did? Oh, who else would say, like, they turn around and went to another country and, like, got real cozy with their Uber driver or whatever, and end up going on, like, this, like, road trip through the island and stuff. Like,
oh, you did that too.
I did.
Just living life on the edge.
And he was cute.
That's good. That's good. He, you came from it. You lived with it, so that's good.
He was
cute. Yeah, because I was there when you invited that barbarian in the car.
Now,
and then got accosted.
Now that,
and then you expected me to do something about it.
Now that time, you know, I was just like, I was young and dumb and
very.
And yeah, and I really thought, sorry, you know, you were,
it's my bad,
you know, that you were going to be able to protect
me. I was sleeping.
You know, evidently, yeah, because Yeah, you would not have been any drunk. You would not have been any help, because, like I said, he had my earring between his two front teeth, and growled a little bit like he was a dog. I'm like, what the fuck? is this what, like, Samoan, like, Pacific Islander men do? They're like,
yeah.
Jesus.
But it's good. So you couldn't imagine being where you have been and experiencing what you have experienced, because you actually have, you are considered a well-traveled person now, because you've been to several countries at least. You've been to Italy, England, Greece,
Mexico, Costa Rica,
Mexico,
Scotland, Newcastle upon Tyne, which a lot of people don't know about unless you kind of like familiar with like the smaller places. Denmark. I feel like I'm missing something. No, I think that's it. And then also I've traveled around the US a little bit as well. So,
yeah, you've been to the rocks. To the swamps. Yes, we've been to the swamps.
The swamps was fun. You have to admit, that was a fun time.
The swamps were fun. Then there was, what were they called? The pigs?
Oh, the boars. Boars.
Were they called boars?
Yeah.
Oh, and the raccoon. That was what that was. The raccoon, he picked up and literally held the hot dog with his hands. Like, that's actually kind of cute.
Raccoons for pets, like, that's... I would like a raccoon for a pet, but then I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it just takes one time for an animal to snap. And like, because even dogs have moments where they'll snap. And I'm just like, I don't think I want to fight a raccoon. Like, I feel like they will throw hands for real.
They basically almost have hands. But yeah, it's good to be travel to experience that, and you're just reflecting on that travel experience and how you couldn't imagine being there, but you made it and you felt a success in that. You felt like you deserved to be there at that time.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you lived for the day. You seized the day because you put yourself in situations that most would not.
Hey, hell, even if living in New York City, like the times that I would be out by myself at like 2 and 3 in the morning, going to a random bar. This is pre-COVID. Going to a random bar, and like next thing I know, like this woman buy me drinks, this man buy me drinks, and we just talking and chilling, and the bartender be like, "Oh no, it's on the house," or that person down there bought it, and everyone's just talking and drinking. It was, I've had some times. I've had some times. And I've luckily have navigated myself through. I mean, hell. Oh my goodness, I remember one time I went to a rooftop by myself because my partner at the time did not want to go. And so I end up, like, talking to, like, this Trini dude who, was he Trini or Haitian? He was one of those Caribbeans. He wasn't Jamaican. And apparently, like, he was, like, a promoter or friends with the promoter or whatever. So he ended up getting me into VIP because, like, the main area was, like, real crowded. Got into VIP, got top shelf liquor. I was like, oh, okay. And then I didn't have to take the train home. I said, praise. Then got dropped off at the house.
Yes, seize the day.
It was a beautiful time. Beautiful. That's why I say you got to learn how to use your privileges and learn how to dance out of situations. Because mama had to dance.
Yes, I see you mean that literally.
Sometimes yes, sometimes literally dancing. Cause I've had some sticky moments on the dance floor sometimes. That could be for a no fucks given episode. We can talk about our wild. You know what? Let's do that next episode with Indy.
Yeah, I mean, I have had an experience that I look back on and I am ashamed of, to be honest.
Are you talking about the time when you was getting, were you getting choked or something? You talking about?
No, I wasn't getting choked, but she could not. She was. We don't need to talk about that. Oh my gosh.
Because are you talking about when you was in New Orleans? I could have sworn she like choked you. It was the really strong one.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you don't remember.
Oh. When was I getting choked?
I guess she choked you. Or she,
was it me or somebody else? No, that you were mistaken
it was
for?
You. She.
Yeah, we can save that for another time. I don't even know what you're talking about. Let's move on. I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Oh, God. I think.
But yes, it's good to seize the day and to travel and to experience things with your friends and family. And maybe meet a stranger and you realize that they weren't really a stranger. That's cool. But since Shauna is tickled by her recollection of me getting accosted, now we can move on. If you have nothing else for your reflections, are you done with your reflections for this episode?
Oh, God. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, we had to bring that up another time. That was, Oh, God. I had to remember who else was there. Someone else saw that. It wasn't just me and you. Oh, we had to remember so I can get the details. That was, You looked in distress, but it looked like also looked like I couldn't fight that bitch either. That bitch looked like she was strong as fuck. All right.
Who are you talking? Anyway, are you done? Yes. Anything else for your reflections?
Oh, God. No, nothing else. Just give us some words of light, because good God.
Okay. Here is Words of Light with Shahari. Okay, so we're going to reflect over the week. I'll start with myself. As far as, were there any opportunities that I had to show love this week? Of course, there were several opportunities that I had, but I seemed to fail. It seemed to be more often than not, especially at work. You know, the country drawl lady, she likes to say shadeful things in front of you. And I guess maybe she was like me and doesn't realize that they're shady. And then she wonders why I avoid her. But every time she shows her face, I can't even talk to her. I can't even talk to her. I'm just like, I give a facial expression. And that's what I end up doing. So he's still working with me on that, showing love to those difficult people.
Hallelujah.
But I continue to pray for my people, all those in my life, and that is how I mainly show my love. And Shauna, were there any opportunities for you to show love this week?
I gave somebody money just because they messed up something, and I was like, oh, and there was damn, money's tight. And I gave several people money, actually. Yeah, I gave people money who needed it. Just because.
That's how you showed your love this week?
Yeah, I mean.
You showed your concern?
I mean, we've all been there. I mean, one person, got fired from their job, and I'm just like, you know what? I understand. I mean, I've never been fired, but I understand, you know, being in between work and is you know, and stuff is thin. So I was like, all right, cool. And then the other person, I was like, you know, I understand, you know, you're trying to get yourself on the come up, and you have, unfortunately, you have to spend money in order to make money, unfortunately, for a lot of things these days, unfortunately. So I was just like, you know what? Here, keep it, save it. It's fine. So yeah, I mean,
yeah, I've done that before.
I would say that's how I've shown love. I mean, besides verbalizing, you know, my honest care for someone, but I guess that's more of a tangible way of me doing it.
Okay, so it wasn't a fail for you, so that's a good thing. So you actually achieved your so you achieved what you wanted to achieve. You showed, you put yourself in your situation and remembered the time when you needed somebody, and then you shared what you had to share. So congratulations, you showed love this week. That's good. So for the past like 3 episodes, we've been talking about loving others and how to view yourself. So just going to reflect over that on God's view, how he views you. Isaiah 43:4, you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. So that's God's view of you. You are precious and honored, and he will do basically anything for you. On the treatment of others, we looked at Matthew 7:12. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Also, there's Philippians 2:4. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. So the point of this is to see how God sees you, that you may love him. And by you loving him, you can love yourself. And by you loving yourself, you can love others. So hopefully over these past 3 episodes, we've all grown better, grown more love for each other.
Better?
I hope that if you're... Yeah.
It almost sounded said better. I think it was like your
better,
accent.
Better, better. Yeah, that's what I meant to say, better, yes. I said better. I guess it might sound like something else. But over these past 3 episodes, hopefully we've all grown in the showing of love to even the most difficult people in our lives. So if you're still having trouble like me, I urge you to continue to do that Ephesians 4:31-32, that you let all malicious bitterness and anger and malice go, and that you hold kindness and love for others, just like through Christ, God forgave us, you forgive them. The next thing that God has had me in has been Psalm 23. So, you know, with all that's going on in the world with race issues, LGBTQ acceptance, inflation, disease, wars, and rumors of wars, it can be easy to be distracted, fearful, and fall into the hate cycle that some of these topics plant. So I'm going to read this chapter with you, and we're going to dissect it the best that I can. So let's go to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So going back and dissecting this, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need, regardless of, you know, inflation, or you just lost your job. If you know the God that you serve, you will have all that you need. He will provide, he'll send somebody to bless you, he'll give you an opportunity, he'll give you a business idea, he'll give you what you need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Like, I can testify to this because I see the difference between my household and the one that's right next to me. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Even though there's so much going on, there can be peace in your territory. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. When I hear rod and staff, I think of his grace and mercy, how it's new every day. Because he protects us from things we don't even realize. You know, somebody might be putting a word curse on you, and they don't even know you. Mm. So he protects you from these things. That's why you have to remain covered. Pray that Lord's Prayer every day, Matthew 6 and 12.
I was about to say 6 and 10. I think
6, 10. Chapter 6 is in there. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. So even though they're out there talking about you, you are still being blessed. You're still being multiplied. You're still being taken care of, regardless of all that they're saying about you. They don't even know you. They just keep talking. But you continue to just sit down at your seat and you eat while they over there moaning and groaning about whatever. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. There's something about the oil. You know, when the oil drips from the beard, what does oil do? It makes things flow smoother. Like when you put oil in the car, the car runs more smooth. It makes things easier. So it makes your life easy when you get that anointing, the head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. That means you will have so many blessings that you'll have to basically like give some stuff away. You have to share the blessing. That's why a cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. To live in the house of the Lord forever, you'll be protected, you'll be taken care of, you'll be secured. No matter what plague may come, it will not come nigh you. It won't come near your tent, near your territory. If you live in the house of the Lord forever, it's where we are covered. So that's like Psalm 23. We just dissected it at the best that I could dissect it. I hope that you get the best from that. But I urge you to prophesy that over yourself. And I challenge you to read that every day. So there is this Psalm 23 Bible plan. So I'm going to do this devotional. This is day one. I'm just going to read this. When God is elevated, our faith and our leadership are insulated. His word provides revelation and wisdom where our human minds are limited. It galvanizes us where we might ordinarily be spiritually vulnerable. The truth of God's word not only escalates our levels of faith, but also insulates us from the pack of big bad wolves like fear, insecurity, and pride. We must allow it to marinate inside us and become an anchor throughout all areas of life. For years, my own familiarity with the 23rd Psalm was hearing it read at funerals. Once I became a believer and matured in my faith, I began to realize how impactful and powerful it truly is. My aha moment with the passage came when I heard a pastor speak at our church. It was a New Year's of Resolutions where he challenged the congregation to pray the Lord's Prayer in the 23rd Psalm every morning. He spoke about how his life dramatically changed when he consistently applied this to his life. I took his advice and decided to make that commitment of reciting them daily, realistically thinking, how can I expect to recite scripture every single day? Years later, not only have I memorized them, but I've prayed both of those prayers religiously every morning since I accepted that challenge. I am living proof that you never completely realize the impact of something until you intentionally and habitually apply it to your own life. Faithfully implementing Psalm 23 into my devotional time has been a spiritual game changer for me. Although we are susceptible to spiritual stagnancy in various seasons of life, verbally declaring the goodness of God is powerful and invigorating. When God talks about a peace that surpasses all understanding, this is what he means. These passages remind me of such foundational promises made specifically to me by my Heavenly Father. We will unpack the 23rd Psalm and uncover multiple applications to what has become a foundation in my spiritual journey. That's the start of that Bible plan. I will challenge you to read Psalm 23 every day. It's only 6 verses. You can also couple it with the Lord's Prayer. That's in Matthew chapter 6. As in put in my heart to start doing this, if you would like to, we can start this Bible plan together. And let's see, what is it called? It's called Treasures Within Psalm 23. That's on the Bible app. It's called Treasures Within Psalm 23. So I'm going to start recording me reading that. I'm going to put it out on Facebook. I'll get with Shauna if she can put it out on Instagram. I don't know if she wants to add that music to it. But right now I'm just going to start recording me. It's like a 7-day Bible plan. So if you would like to listen to me read the Bible plan, or you can read it yourself, I do challenge you to come with me and read that Treasures Within Psalm 23 Bible plan. So I'll be recording myself and putting out on Wednesday and Sunday for right now. That's what I'm going to do. So read and listen to that Bible plan. That is all I have for you on the Words of Life segment. Be blessed, go forth, and prosper.
Cause you can break my soul, honey. I live. But you know, like, that is facts. Like, I feel like when I was young, I could empathize with, you know, those old hymns and those scriptures and whatnot. I really did at a young age, but I feel like as I get older, like, they settle more in your spirit more, like they just, it's just, yeah. It just settles more. It's just like, damn, yeah,
the more understanding comes with time, definitely.
I love it. I mean, and also if you want music, baby, I'll put a little ditty on myself. You better be happy I can't do it myself, because it'll be too much. It'll be like a full produce thing at that point. If I was that talented to do such thing. I mean, I probably can. It'll just be time. Anyways. But yeah. So thank you for that Words of Light. It was really good. I enjoyed it. Are you ready to get back to these sexualities?
Yeah, I think so.
Which I love it because, with y'all, it's easy for me to just hop back in to the groove. Excuse me. But yeah, so I think the last one we talked about was gray sexual, and that was those people who are like, don't really identify as anything, and they're just kind of like within the spectrum of sexuality. Was there anybody from last recording that you had any like clarifying questions that you want to have or anything like that?
You're talking to me?
Yes. Who else am I?
It sounds like you're talking to everybody.
I'm talking to you. They can't come and tell me right now. no one has said, hey, this is what I have a question on.
No, I don't have any questions right now.
Okay. Well, let's go to the next one. The next one is gynosexual. And this one is just someone who's sexually and romantically attracted to women or females or anything that's anyone that is within the like female form.
And this is called gyna?
Gyna? I say gyna, but it's G-Y-N-E sexual. Like gynecologist, like, yeah.
Was that necessary?
I mean, that's how I correlate it. I mean,
I'm just asking, was that necessary to specify that?
What do you mean? To say someone's attracted to like the female form or feminine people? Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, because you're including everyone that's within all the gender identities, but if they're like in that film presentation and they carry themselves femininely, what you call it? Like there are some people that are just like that's it. Like they don't care the genitalia, they just prefer, as long as you look very feminine and dainty, I guess. Hey, you're fair game to me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay. But I say don't stop us on something on the simplest one. I'm just like, this one's simple, like. libidist, asexual. It's a term. I just said it all kinds of wrong. Libidoist, my bad. Libidoist asexual is a term for the asexual person who experiences sexual feelings that are satisfied through self-stimulation or masturbation. This term analogous for some people acting on libido or sexual feelings doesn't necessarily involve sexual behaviors with others. So this is like in the asexual world. Where you just like, you may not be interested in sex with other people, but you still kind of have those urges to like, to please yourself.
That sounds close to narcissism.
I mean, that's better than the, what was the ones who, the autosexuals, yeah, the ones who are sexually attracted to themselves. I mean, I wouldn't say it's better. I'm not shaming anybody. But it sounds less narcissistic than the autosexuals to me. Because, yeah. Like, you still can, like, you're still in that asexual realm where you may not be sexually attracted to somebody, or you may not, want somebody else, but you still have needs, so you know, you get it done and you act on your needs.
I'm not trying to dive deep into this, but it also sounds like somebody who they want to have sex with other people, but they don't know how to go about it.
I feel like that would probably just be, I think it would be dependent on what else is going on with that person, like what other attributes that person carries as far as that, because then.
Yeah, because they still,
right.
They're still doing a sexual act, meaning you just.
Well, they're doing it to themselves, and so like self-pleasuring and everything, like that's completely healthy, The question is, are you, like, do you want to have sex with other people? Or are you just, like, just wanting to get your nut is the question. Because with that situation, it's less of you wanting to have sex with other people. But, hormones are they a real thing? Sometimes they take over. You know what I'm saying? Your nipples get hard, your clit get hard, your dick get hard, whatever. And, you know, you feel like you need to go ahead and just express yourself. You gotta do what you gotta do.
I see. Moving on.
Does that make sense? I'm just making sure that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's just, that's one of those, like, don't want to dig too deep into that one. You might find some other rabbit hole.
I'm scared of what rabbit hole you're thinking of. But anyways, monosexual is a broad orientation where people experience romantic or sexual attraction to people of one sex or gender. And so, I mean, that's kind of self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. You just like that one thing, and then that's it. But it's just like a really, for people who, I guess, don't want to dive too deep and or be too specific with titles, I guess that is like, that's how I'm rationalizing some of these things. Like, some of these things, I'm like, okay, this can encompass different types of people, but I guess if you don't necessarily want to, like, express that particular title, and you can just express it a different way. The non-libidoist asexual is somebody on the asexual spectrum that doesn't experience any sexual feelings or any active sex drive. So these are your asexuals that they're just there sexually and sexually. It doesn't include romanticism, but sexually you're just there.
That sounds
You look like you're going to say something, that's why I'm looking at you.
Okay.
What you was about to say?
I don't know what I was about to say, to be honest. It just, that sounds dissatisfying.
I know, right? Like, I mean, we're all grown. Sex is a beautiful thing, and the feeling of an orgasm, even though shortly lived, is a wonderful, invigorating feeling. And, you know, and it's almost seemed taboo, especially with today's society, that there are people that, I don't want to say miss out on it, but don't see the joys in it. And so I think, you know, I just think it's just probably just a little taboo for us, more many of us, I would say. But there are people out there. The omnisexuals is similar to pansexual, but this person is not limited to any particular gender, sex, or sexual orientation. That one, I just kind of like, all right, I don't even know why we include that one.
Yeah, that's the second one that you've said today that I was like, why is this here?
But like I said, I feel like some of them, it's just like, if you don't want to, I hate to say it like this, but I feel like some of them are like, if you don't want to, like, be like everyone else, you can be different and say you're this, and just to make it a little bit more complicated. The homosexual is a term for a person who rejects sexuality labels or don't identify with any of them. And also, homosexuality is not necessarily an identity either. So these are people who just, like, completely just renounce you know, titles and labels of anything. And even still, even though they fit a category, that name, they even try to make that name to where it's not an identity either, to where it's like, you fit a category, but you say you fit no category, but there's a category for you, but we're going to say that, that category is not a category. And I'm not trying to like shit on anybody who identifies in these things. It's just, you know, we've come up with terms to help people understand and everything, and then, you know, we make it even more complicated and be like, you know what? This is not a category, but y'all fit this category. This is one that I've been seeing a lot of people, especially black women, use more these past, I would say, maybe 3 years. What is this? Sapiosexual, which is someone whose experience attraction based on intelligence rather than sex and gender. And I don't feel like, I'm not going to even lie, I feel like a lot of people do it just to seem smart and or do it to kind of like be like, oh, I'm different and you have to come at me with intellect, blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, are you sure? Because I don't think you're actually a sapiosexual. I just think that you are just, that you may be more of a...
Raised your standards?
Huh?
They just raise their standards?
Right. They either raise their standards or they may be like a little bit more on the demisexual side. But once again, sexuality is a spectrum. So you can be multiple sexualities or you can juggle between them all. But I do feel like a lot of people like so call themselves sapiosexuals just for the hype of it, which I don't know why it's a hype, but
yeah, because if you said that to me, I would not know what that was. I'm not going to memorize all 47 of these
terms. Of course not, here. But like I said, I've been seeing especially more black women around our ages and younger saying they're like, no, I'm not even younger. Well, just around, I would say my age and a little bit older, saying that they're sapiosexuals. I'm like, bitch, just say that you just want a motherfucker who has a brain and has a little something going for himself. Like, just say that. Don't be trying to be all in the community when you not. Just joking. I'm not a gatekeeper. I'm just cracking fun a little bit. And the scoliosexual, apparently it's a sexual orientation that describes people who are attracted to non-cis people. And they're also including the non-binary, including non-binary, genderqueer, and trans. But apparently, scoliosexual is a, they changed it to heterosexual. I assume I said that right, hetero. Because scoliosexual, apparently the Latin word for it means crooked. And so it's like a negative connotation to that. So the preferred meaning of that is heterosexual, which it's interesting because I have met people who do only, like, they prefer people who are not cis. And I feel like with that, someone asked me, I forgot who it was. It was either my ex or it was either my current boyfriend. And it was just like, I think it was my ex. And it was just like, how does that differentiate them from a chaser? And for some people, I would not condone using this word. But the T word and or the word tranny, which is a derogatory term now, but some of the older people still use it as far as them like reclaiming it or whatever. There are some people that like just go after and fetishize people who are not cis, and so he was saying like what makes that different from a chaser, or as some people know, a tranny chaser. And in my definition to him was, it is for those people who will actually date and actually court people who are not cis versus you seeking them out just simply for your sexual desires. Does that make sense?
And this term is?
This is the heterosexual, which is the one, which is the one for people who are attracted to people who are not cisgendered. So the difference between that and a trans chaser or whatever you want to call it, I personally would say it would be someone who actually would date those people versus you just seeking them out for sexual desires.
Yeah, that's a pretty straightforward definition what you gave.
And the last one for the sexualities is the spectrosexual, which is which are people who are sexually or romantically attracted to multiple or varied sexes, genders, and identities, but not necessarily all or any. So this is just pretty much just somebody who's just like just on the spectrum at some point somewhere. Another one of those like not want to give a title type situations, but it's there. And that is the sexualities. The next segment, I will go over the romantics, because there's far less romantics and gender identities, which I might do gender identities and pronouns together. So I think that would be interesting. That one might take a little minute. And so those are the varying sexualities that we have gone through in these past two segments. And also apparently it's a scale, the Kinsey scale, which was published in the 1948, that acknowledges that many people may identify as either may not identify with hetero or homosexual, and it just kind of like just pretty much quantifying one of those words, that there is a spectrum, and it's literally like from zero
to, it has been turned into a spectrum,
yes. From zero to six, and it's like it goes from exclusively heterosexual to like you're mostly heterosexual, but then it's just incidentally homosexual. I'm like, okay, that's for like,
what?
I'm like, okay, that's for those girls who get drunk and be like, oh my God, I'm drunk, I want to eat your pussy. But when they sober, they like, nah, I'm strictly dickly, bitch. You were just trying to eat some pussy last night. Shut up. or the people who are like predominantly homosexual, all the way down to predominantly homosexual and incidentally heterosexual. Funniest thing I saw on Instagram. I mean, first of all, let's not take out the fact that even gay men love boobs. Gay men love boobs, and sometimes some people, once again, every now and then you'll get a gay man who'll be drunk and he want to eat some pussy. And I was just like, okay. But the funniest video I saw on Instagram that fit this was, it was a little gay Asian boy at a party, and he was super drunk. You can tell he was wasted. And he had a piece of cake, and his friends was like, oh no, stop, you're vegan. And he's like, oh my God. And like, I guess he forgot in his drunkenness that he was vegan, and he was eating a piece of birthday cake. I guess it was somebody's birthday. And then he turned around and like had kissed a girl or whatever, and it was like, what the fuck are you doing? You're gay. And so the caption was, he got drunk and he turned to his default settings. And I'm just like, first of all, the fact that y'all just think that heterosexuality is default is, it doesn't sit well with me, but also it was hilarious of how it went down. So, I mean, so yeah, you have those people on both sides, heterosexual and homosexual, that have moments of that flexibility where they do the opposite. And then also, so it's just zero to X, and those are the people who have no kind of like contact or reaction sexually. So yeah, so even back then they knew it was a spectrum, and they kind of try to have a number placed on it. But now we have like, but over the years, and that was 1948, so over the years we have like developed more specific terms and everything towards sexuality. So yeah.
Yes. Yes, we have. That I'm probably not gonna memorize or remember almost any of those. But if I hear it,
I say, knowing you, you probably would not. But the positive thing about it, and the reason why I chose it, was one, I kept having people ask like, well, what is this, what is that? And I'm like, and it would be for the ones that I knew, and I'd be like, that's this, that's that. And then like, I'm like, well, you know, there's like so many more that are not even covered, or people don't even really acknowledge, or not acknowledge, but people really don't talk about really. And they're just like, oh my God. So now for you and whoever else is listening, they can be like, oh, I heard about that one. Or if like they run into somebody at a bar or something, and they'd be like, hey, I am, I'm heteroflexible, but I am primarily gynosexual, but have moments of androsexual, androsexual, something like that.
If somebody came to me and said all that, I would be like, you, that's lovely that you discovered yourself. And I didn't ask all that, because I'm pretty sure I didn't ask all that. But that's good that you've discovered yourself. You have a wonderful day. Go forth and prosper. And whatever.
Oh shit.
You do.
I'm tickled, but I can see you saying it, and I hope I am.
Because I'm
there.
Pretty sure I wouldn't have asked all that.
I hope I am there to sit back and watch this interaction. That would give me a life. Oh my God! But yeah, but that is it. That is it for
just
today.
Thinking of my face, what would it be doing at that time?
My God.
Just my face.
Oh my goodness! It will probably discourage them from talking unless they're drunk and they just like keep going. But you'll toss that eyebrow up, and them eyebrows come up. Those eyes get a little bit bigger. That mouth gets either closed or it's like slightly agape, and you just kind of be like, and then don't let you do the one eyebrow up and one eyebrow down. Ooh. And then you'll turn around and try to fix it once you notice that it's up. And so you try to fix it, but when you fix it, you kind of just kind of tilt your head up and look and kind of look down a little bit and just be like, hmm. And then you can, sometimes you do a little squint and your eyebrows come down a little bit and you just be like, hmm, that's nice. And but it's a delayed reaction, so you already had a good solid minute to 3 minutes with the ugly face. and now you're trying to switch to a more less judgmental face, and your less judgmental face to me is more judgmental than the face that you had previously. But all of this is happening, and sometimes the people don't even know that this is what's going on, and I'm just like, and I'm over here like, this is awkward.
I wasn't expecting you to describe my face that much, but,
do you know how long we've been around each other? And how many times we've done it? You've done it so many times, like, and every now and then you switch up your confused face or your uninterested face every now and then. You switch it up every now and then, but that's like the typical Shahari pattern. That's like a typical Shahari pattern, and at that point, I am probably either in my mind laughing hard as hell, or I'm smiling, trying not to laugh so that the person won't be offended.
Well.
And then you give me that look, and I'd be like, shit, I don't know what to tell you, sir.
Yeah, I don't have a poker face. I literally cannot control it.
At all.
I've tried. When I try to, it gets worse. So,
I told you.
Yeah, I have no poker face.
And I'm just like, even that face, sir, that's you fixing your face, but that's still judgmental as hell. Still judgmental as hell. But, hey, you can't help but to love you, honey. We can't help but to love you. Do you have any questions on anything before we sign off and before we go to the next segment, next recording?
I have no questions. It's good that we just use this time to display other people's preferences. I mean, you know, just there's a lot of people out there, and we can't put anybody in a box, so we can keep making up these. We can keep.
Oh,
yeah, I'm getting terms.
You had to say like that. Oh, they can just keep making up shit. Okay. You ain't had to say it like that.
But we're not gonna be able to put everybody in a specific thing, but we'll keep learning about each other and just see how unique we are, and just that's how what will bring us together is our uniqueness. That we all are our own atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And we just help lift up each other's atmospheres.
Yeah.
So that is, I have no other questions. That was very informative. To be honest, I dozed off in some of those explanations.
Oh, trust me, I noticed. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to call him out. I'm just going to keep going. Because I'm almost done. And
so I'm pretty sure I had one eye closed and one eye open.
Actually, no, you had both eyes closed. Both eyes closed, and I was like, you know what? I'm like, I don't even know how to make this, like, fun. Like, but, you know, because you're new to it, and some of the ones I was new to, so I mean, it was more of a lesson type situation.
Yes, it definitely felt like a lesson. Yes, it did.
I mean,
but it was very informative. It was needed, if necessary, so that we know that we are all our own selves.
Yeah, don't allow anyone to define you, unless you want to, and if you don't want to define yourself, then you have the right to not define yourself. Just make sure that you are practicing. If you are having sexual relations, make sure you're practicing safe sex, whether you're doing oral or any other form of sex. Make sure you are practicing safe sex. Make sure that you are taking care of your bodies and watching what you are putting into your bodies. Whether you are drinking, doing drugs, and make sure you're aware of your spaces as well. And just make sure that you're safe out here. There's a lot going on. Everyone is not going to be for you. And know your, and make sure that you allow yourself to learn your limits and know your limits as far as performing sexual acts, indulging with other people, in any kind of activities, and yeah, and remember, no means no in the end. I don't care if you just started. No always means no, and no also means stop. So, and stop means stop. So yeah, just protect yourself, and yeah. So we're signing out. Make sure you hit us up on Facebook.
Yes, very good, Mom.
Oh my God, stop that. Make sure you catch us on Facebook, Why the Songbird Sings, and on Instagram, Why the Songbird Sings. Email us at whythesongbirdsingspodcast@gmail.com, WTSS on TikTok, and yeah, we might have some more stuff coming up. I'm super excited. My little personal project is coming along, so you should be getting that performance. Hopefully everything will be mastered and released in October, so I'm super excited. The rehearsals have been great. My original songs and the covers both sound good. I have the skeleton for them, so I'm excited for you guys to hear. So I will probably put that on the pages just so y'all can see versus hearing me do little random shit on the podcast. You'll actually hear me sing and be like, understand why Songbird is a title for me, and it's not just for me just making random noises. And yeah. So till next time, bye.
Reflection, 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 reflection.